Blog Talk Radio.
Another Friday evening, and once again, we have the political consciousness of West Coast Steelers fan. Well, once again, we see how things have turned out with 45 and the impeachment hearing. Nothing new, nothing to look at here. Pass on, you know, stop rubbernecking. But we all knew that Trump was going to be acquitted. But here's the thing. O.J. was acquitted. A lot of people still believe O.J. did. Indeed, hey, the gloves, they don't fit, he must acquit. But in this case, gloves did fit. And somehow we still didn't have a case. I was actually asking Mr. Judson to come on tonight. Judge Mark is right now having to deal with a race of his own. He is running, as most people know, for a seat in a North Carolina district. And I was going to ask him a few questions about the impeachment. Our subject, our guest tonight is supposed to be Mr. Chuck Dunhill, or Dunnell. And Chuck works with, he is a disabled veteran. He does a lot of work with archery. I wanted to ask him a lot of questions about our healthcare system, our VA system, and whether or not he's satisfied with it, what we should do about it. You've heard me ask these questions before, veterans, about whether or not our VA system should be privatized. And, of course, so far, we've had a few conflicting arrangements here. A lot of, I don't understand why we're trying to have businessmen that have never run a medical facility try to run something as complicated as the VA, when you have not only a vast majority of physical or handicapped facilities, as opposed to civilian life, where you might not run into as many psychological developments or underachievements when it comes to the lives of veterans. Hopefully, Mr. Donald shows up. I've invited many, many guests over to our show. And sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't. It's kind of a typical Trump thing. I understand. As I said, it's very easy to be a Facebook warrior where, you know, there's no voice connection made. It's just a few sentences. And you don't, depending on their picture, you might actually get to see the person. It might be the picture, it might not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have those type of problems. You know, what you see is what you get. Yes, that's my face up there. For those of you, that says I am a pre-existing condition. You know, long before we had this administration or the Obama administration, I still had the problems that I had. Many Vietnam veterans, we still have our problems. So, yes, we are pre-existing conditions. What are you going to do with us? And curiously enough, having moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and moving to what is primarily a military town, San Diego. Of course, it's not like, you know, you don't see the groups of guys running around like we used to, you know, with our different uniforms and whatnot. There's a strong Navy presence, but if, you know, I mean, you could be sitting next to a sailor or a Marine and never know it. Excuse me. This is the home base for everything from SEALs to submariners to aircraft carriers, and then, you know, down to the usual little guys, the frigates and the destroyers and just, you know, the people, the grounds people that it takes, as well as the people that actually do some of the maintenance to these different vessels. So we do have a great presence out here, and I find, as everyone knows if you follow this show, I find that there is a great bit of difference in the care received. I've heard a lot of people, soldiers and families alike, talk about their displeasure with the system out here. But yet, if you live in Cleveland, Youngstown, Columbus, Toledo, New Jersey, Philadelphia, you find that you have a different set of problems with the VA. Treatment, and the way you are treated are all vastly dissimilar to what I have found here on the West Coast. I've had very good experiences with the doctors out here, where my experience with the doctors back east were quite different. So anyway, I'm going to discuss the VA system with Mr. Dunnell when he comes on. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about this impeachment thing. You know? Actually, what were you thinking? What were people thinking that was going to happen? Mitch McConnell told you that he was not going to remove the president, and they did not. Like I said, the interesting, I guess, you know, if you want to dig into what was interesting, well, it was very interesting that they said that they acquitted him of his two charges. They didn't say they found him innocent. See, and to me, that's something that's there's a very different connotation here. You know, like I said, you know, O.J. was acquitted. So would you let O.J. run the country after he was acquitted? And you can see by the way that he has handled himself after the impeachment that this is really someone that has the vindictiveness of a child, you know, kind of like, you know, back in my day, the kid that, you know, his dad maybe had the big backyard, or he had all the baseball bats and two or three different gloves, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, you called him out, or he got hit by a pitch. Well, you know, it was, I'm going to take my balls and bats and go home. Well, you know, kind of the same as how the year. It's not about whether you told the truth or not. It's about whether or not you're on my side. Did you do what I told you? Did you, you know, did you play with the rest of the kids? Or were you that problem child that, you know, decided that, you know, maybe you wanted to go and do your homework. Maybe you wanted to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Well, if your kids are watching this and if they're watching this, you know, there's a chance, a very good chance, that they're watching this, they understand this. So what's the lesson to be learned here? Well, you know, usually you tell your kids, well, you know, hey, if you're a bad man, then you go to jail. Okay, you can't use that one. If you're a bad man, if you commit a crime, you have to pay for it. No, we can't do that one either. Let's see. Sometimes good people do bad things. Yeah. Let's stick with that one. Sometimes good people do bad things. Okay. So, asking, you know, the Ukraine to dig up dirt on the Bidens. He's learned his lesson. He's never going to do it again. Okay. So, all right. Then what's the first thing I do? Well, everybody that testifies against me gets a pink slip. A lifelong member of the military, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, gets all kinds of dirt thrown on him simply because he testified. I'm curious because Chuck is a former military man. I'm curious to how you can reconcile all this. You fire a decorated hero. The man has a Purple Heart. He's a combat infantryman. And yet, because he tells the truth, he gets fired. Whereas 2 months ago, you have a Navy SEAL who has been proven to commit crimes while doing his tour. You had the same gentleman say that let's reverse the code of military justice here. Let's give him back his trident and let's restore him. Where, even people that were members of his own unit said that this man had some mental deficiencies. We've seen another member of the church, of the Trump administration being fired. He was actually the commander of the SEALs. He was fired by the president. Actually, I think he resigned due to the president's lack of confidence in his intelligence and I don't mean his personal intelligence. I'm talking about Navy intelligence and actually a lot of it had to do with the pardoning of the SEAL that I mentioned. You got $7 billion that was intended for military construction, as I've been constantly talking about on this show. But you take that for a wall that you promised to build. 3 years into your administration, we have not seen one new mile of wall constructed, nor have we seen a final design for this wall. We have parts of the old wall falling over into Mexico, some of it, that was not strengthened. But let's see, for the most part, we've had some reconstruction down here around San Diego. I'm sure there's been some in Arizona, in Texas. But why are you taking money from military families and children? You've given the military the smallest raise that they've had in a decade. And just like the veterans in Vietnam, the veterans today that are in Syria and Yemen and Iran, they've seen bases destroyed by Russians or even by our own fire rather than have our enemies take over these installations. Kind of, like the hills that we took back in the old days and then abandoned them, back to the enemy after, we spent the blood, sweat, and tears. Only to see, now need to maybe do something in the South. I'm very surprised. I'm hopefully surprised by the answers of Mr. Talked about this Iowa process, and if you're even 2/3 of my age, you know that we've had a lot of problems with this Iowa caucus. But first of all, let's look at the state of Iowa. How many minorities are represented by this in this caucus? I never understood why these primaries in states Iowa, New Hampshire. Montana, I mean, why are we using these as examples of what we expect our voter turnout to be? As I said, how many minorities are in Iowa actually represented by this caucus? And then you say, okay, well, we're going to come to the 21st century, and we're going to use this new act. Okay, now I am one that's definitely for saving the paper. Every day I get some paper in the mail that is totally useless. A good example is if you're over 65 and you're a part of the Promise program, or you get advertisements every day for Medicare supplements Medicare add-ons for your insurance, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You get tons and tons and tons of paper. Okay, it's a little annoying, but yes, we do get paper. Okay, I do understand. We get paper. Okay. So, once again, going back to Iowa, the paper ballots worked. Maybe it wasn't what we expected. Okay, but they worked. So now we try the new technology, and all of a sudden it doesn't work. We don't know who won. We don't know. All we know is that right now it's a big mess. At least two candidates can claim victory, and the others, if they don't like it, then they can demand a recount. Don't quite understand how that's going to work. How can you recount when you never counted the votes to begin with? Yeah, I know. Kind of sounds dumb. But when you think about it, you know, what about this never sounded dumb anyway? But when you consider how important the 2020 election is, I have two questions. Number one, when it's so important for you to show unity in the Democratic Party, you have done something to show more discord. As I said, there's no clear winner. We have two or three different people claiming, and then the other ones, you know, like I said, you can get a recount. But when you are a black or a minority voter, or not a, even if you are an independent, how do you know, or, you know, what is the guideline for what app you use? I know, okay, well, the guideline is that the app must work. Well, evidently, the app that the Democratic Party chose didn't work. So, you know, are we going to say that, you know, are we going to blame it on the application? Are we going to get a new app? And most of all, how do you get the security back from people that believe in this democratic process? And now that the Democratic caucus is in Iowa is over and we're moving on to New Hampshire, but the infighting begins. We see Hillary Clinton attack Bernie Sanders, much like as if she were running. I don't, as someone that votes mostly Democratic, I don't see the need for Hillary to be in any position to rally up the party or become this lightning rod for feminism or whatever within the Democratic Party. I think the Democrats would be better served to hear much less of Hillary. And if I were a member of the nomination committee, I would ask very respectfully if you kind of kept your opinions to yourself. Which brings us to another question, and I've asked this also on the program a few times. Can we successfully run a woman against Trump and Pence after this debacle in our last election with Hillary? And now you only have two women left in the race, which is Globar and Warren. Although I might be glad to see some of the other candidates out of the race, is this really the reputation? Well, is it the representation that women have strived for since Trump got in office? We've gone from Pocahontas. Now he's shifted his focus to Joe Biden, which everyone believes is going to be end up being the Democratic candidate. I'm hoping very sincerely that it doesn't. I'm hoping we can go to someone a little more progressive, someone that shows to me true leadership, and I haven't seen that from any Democratic candidate, be it Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Klobuchar, Buttigieg, Steyer. As this campaign goes on, even though he's started late, and I realize he's a millionaire, many multi-billionaire, but when you listen to the ads for the different candidates, Bloomberg does stick out. Now, there are a lot of things, you know, that Bloomberg represents that, of course, I'm totally against. But when I go through the proposals and the candidates one by one, a lot of them, including Bloomberg, are saying some of the same things, but I think this is the first time that I've actually seen a candidate actually put his money where his mouth is. Buttigieg, now, you know, I'm kind of torn. I like a lot of the things that he says. People can say that he doesn't have the experience because it's just Little Gary, Indiana. Communications or his reputation in the black community is often challenged, even early into his administration. So, let's see if we can get let's see if we can get Mr. Donald on the show. Let's see what time. I thought I had been booked for I believe I have him signed for 7. Let's see if we can get Mr. Donnie on the show. Okay. I sent him some questions for this afternoon. So let's see if Mr. Donnie decides to. Okay. That's. Give him a try here. Well, as you've heard, Mr. Dunhill doesn't seem like he wants to answer us tonight. I'm going to reach out on Facebook and see what happened. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to try his number one more time. Let's call him from the studio here. rather than my phone. Let's go back. Okay, let's try this again. Let's see. All right, let's try him on the live studio line here. Hello? Good evening. Good evening. Hello? As I said, it does seem that once again, if you tuned in last week, we had the same problem. It does seem that we do have a lot of following in 45's footsteps. We seem to have a lot of deferments here. People are, I want to come on. I want to talk about, I want to talk about my support for Trump and you blast it all over your social media. But when we want to put a voice with these statements, all of a sudden, these people become unavailable. I don't use the word coward lightly, and if you lie to me and say, well, I had something else to do or I forgot, that's one thing. But when you don't show up at the last minute, then you leave people to make assumptions. And the whole purpose of me asking questions or trying to find out why we have this particular group that feels that they are, I'll say, entitled, or that they don't believe that, that this president is racist or and that he has the good of America, not just the people that support him, but America behind him. And he has shown that he does not have what is good for America, but what is good for Trump. Trump has reshaped the whole Republican Party, and now it's become the party of cowards. This is the same party. This is the same way the Nazis used their power. And and they were a minority. So you just think, when you have a country that's almost split 50-50, we are back very much in the throes of the Civil War days. Are you blue or red? Blue or gray? Black or white? Brown or white? Are you white enough? Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I'm back in the 1970s once again, when we were still just getting used to having black people vote. When we were just deciding that people of color needed to go to college, people of color needed jobs, and we gave them something called equal opportunities. Which was, of course, a step above, separate but equal. Now we want certain groups to be equal, but we also want to be able to exclude certain groups. And it's kind of surprising that we're going after the brown population here, Latin America. When most of these countries, we've at one time or another subsidized the government, from the Contras to the freedom fighters, all across Central America, all the way to South America, Venezuela, Colombia, many of the countries that we bought cocaine from and distributed here in the United States in order to fund some of those wars. And you can, you know, I mean, look, if you think I'm saying anything that you don't know, go on to, that thing that we all look at and some consider gospel, go on the internet, look up the Iran-Contras, you can look up Panama, and the reasons why we went after the Panamanian president. First time that Navy SEALs had been killed in action in this theater. There are a lot of questions, and if anyone is out there and you know, you just feel free, press one. I'll definitely let you talk. Everyone was talking about the jobs today. And that's one thing that Trump has always pointed out, about the great jobs increase and this I guess that this quarter, this month, or whatever, there was that he's talking about the creation of 25 million jobs. Well, that sounds good, but a lot of these jobs are confined to the health and service industry, which we already know are usually underpaid. And you're talking about people that are taking care of our elderly, people that are working in nursing homes, the people that work in the hospitals. But you're not talking about the doctors. You're not talking about nurses. You're not talking about the things that are very important to keeping people alive. We still have many thousands of soldiers dying from Agent Orange. And you can say, well, hey, most of you old geezers are in your 60s and 70s anyway. So, maybe it's just old age. Well, it's not just old age. Let's see. I was hoping that was Mr. Dumbtail telling us that he was going to come back. But anyway, it seems like manufacturing jobs, okay? Those are the people that make things for us, like our refrigerators, our cars, the trucks, the motorcycles, the airplanes, Those jobs have went down by 12%. And when you think about it, that 12% is going to increase because we're not building new factories. We're not building new car plants. And in spite of Pianchi coming on here and talking about all of the new construction in St. Louis and all these places, three quarters of our infrastructure is falling apart. And if you don't believe it, let's just talk about the two cities that I have lived in the last 25 years, Pittsburgh and San Diego. There's a bridge that runs from San Diego across to Coronado Island. 2 years ago, there were parts of that bridge that you could actually look down through and see the ocean. Okay? That means the holes went through the concrete, through the rebar, and whatever structure that there was for the integrity of the bridge, they've patched the bridge. Those of you that travel on the 5, see all the construction heading up toward Los Angeles. Well, all of this construction has been built or are funds from the Obama administration. None of this has been appropriated by the Trump administration. As you know, Trump didn't even want to give California money for the wildfires. We're in debate about sanctuary cities. California is much like the Ukraine. As much dirt as can be shoveled at California, well, it's a Democratic state, they vote against me, let's withhold as much of the funds as possible. California, like any other state, would. It's funny how everybody is talking about states' rights, especially, you know, you hear the Texans and people in the Deep South talking about states' rights. But in California, hey, you know, you guys are commies, you know, you're socialists. You want the country to be overrun by immigrants. What happened to Rodney King? Can't we all just get along? Nah, I don't really want I'm not one of those guys. I never subscribe to that turn the other cheek and, beat your spears into plowshares and you know, no, I've never been that type of guy. If you try to intimidate me and take something away from me that I think I deserve, then we are going to be faced with some kind of problem. And I find this very much the same today. If I say that I feel black people should look out for themselves when it comes to a candidate that they want to vote for, a particular issue that they have to vote for, then yes, I think you should exercise that right. I don't. Let me get this crystal clear. I think people, you know, think that I am trolling or trying to find votes for the Democrats. It's not Democrats. It's about not being one of the minions of the Republican Party. You can't tell me that you're embracing me and giving me a hug, and I feel the knife going in between my third and fourth rib. You can't make a Tuskegee Airman, a Brigadier General, and then give one of the most racist men in America the Freedom Medal and tell me that that's all right. You can't tell me that you have my best interests at heart, but you oppose legislation to have me vote. You use people of your party to readjust voting lines, a process called gerrymandering, and as long as it's to your advantage, that's fine. I want to talk more about that with Mark. We can get Mark back on the show. How they've used that very successfully in North Carolina. And those of you that keep up with the fake news, I guess you can go to ABC, NBC, or some of those look up what has been happening in North Carolina. Fortunately or unfortunately now, Fox News is also part of the fake news, so I had one caller tell me that, you know, if you can't see it on the video, it doesn't exist, basically. Not exactly sure. I'm going to have to get Mr. Dunnell back on the show. Hopefully we'll get Mr. Sosa back. Sosa does seem to be one of the ones that will talk about Trump. I used to have Pianchi on here, but it now seems that Pianchi does not. Well, we had some very heated conversations, which I can understand, and also I don't really want to turn the show into a freak show, because we're like oil and water, and a lot of times I get off the point. But anyway, I was trying to get more Republicans on so we could possibly discuss their point of view. So it does seem like, you know, when you extend an olive branch and you keep getting back a tiki torch, then, you have to assume that the message is one of hate, if not hate, intolerance, both of which we really need in America today. And I have committed some of the same sins of our fathers, not talking, wanting to interact, going by a prejudged premise. I've been guilty of all of that. And maybe that's why I'm trying to give back now. Because I do understand intolerance. And I do understand racism from both sides. I don't condone racism. I am one of the last persons to believe that we should be judged by the color of our skin. But you cannot tell me or get across to me that the first thing that you see when you talk to me, before you get to know who I am, you judge me by what you see in front of you. And the first thing you see is that I'm different. Now, how you act on that feeling has a lot to do with how our relationship goes forward. But in that particular moment, in that instance, before you know my name is James, before you know anything about me, my age, what color my eyes are, what color my hair is, the first thing you see is that I am a black man. It's the first thing you see. And if you can't admit that, then that is where we should start our education. Because you can't bury your head in the sand like an ostrich and say that this doesn't exist. If you have a building that's built on a bad foundation, you have to fix that foundation. I've been talking to you for about an hour now. I feel like a preacher. You know, I have a captive audience here, and no one wants to respond. I am going to try, Mr. Tunnel, one more time before we get off the air. Maybe he'll answer us, and maybe he won't. Let's see.
You reached the voicemail of Chuck Durnell. Sorry I couldn't answer the phone right now. Please leave a name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
All right. Well, we will try to get a guest in next week. As I said, it's very frustrating when people run away from the truth. And I'm going to leave it at that. This is West Coast Steeler Fan signing off once again for this segment of the Political Consciousness of West Coast Steeler Fan. I hope, maybe we've raised some questions that you'll think about before our next session next Friday. I want to thank you for your time this Friday evening. I look forward to talking to you again soon. And once again, thank you for joining us right here on the Political Consciousness of West Coast Steeler Fan. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next Friday. In the meantime, let's just make sure your vote counts. Have a great weekend.